Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, KOP Nation? It's Sunday night. It's June 29th, 2025. So you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast, streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff.
Ding, ding, ding,
follow ding. Follow us. Yes, like Paul, co-host Paul in the house.
Yes.
And Steffi Shep, Steffi's comment, no Shep. Shep will be joining us. He, I'm going to have to send him the link. Okay.
All right.
Paul, how's it going?
Good, good. I'm here. It's a Sunday night. I've got Dynamite on behind me, and we're here to talk about AEW. And I mean, what else could you do on a Sunday night?
We got a lot to cover tonight. A lot of stuff going on in the world of AEW. I mean, we're less than 2 weeks away now until AEW All in Texas.
Crazy to think 2 weeks.
I mean, you know, they started putting that banner up, what, at the end of last year, advertising the show, and now we're almost here. So, yeah, wild. Yes. Got Steffi in the chat on YouTube. Got Majin in the chat. How you doing tonight? Thanks for joining us. Like always, we appreciate it.
Yeah, and Steffi says there was no NASCAR today. So
I think they raced, correct me if I'm wrong, Steffi, but they raced last night in Atlanta, I believe, because I saw something with the AEW title on a stage.
So, oh, okay. Okay.
Steven Chambers in the chat. What's up, guys? Who's that jabroni on the right?
It's me. It's Mountain Dew Paul.
It's me. It's me. It's Mountain Dew Paul.
Yes.
And there he is.
Oh, hey. The champ has finally arrived for a KOP.
Oh, God.
Once in a while.
I forgot he was the champ because he hasn't showed up for so long.
You know what?
Yeah, I know.
After holding you two guys up for the last 4 weeks, I had to take a little time off. My back was hurt. Okay.
Wow.
I take a little, you know, a little R&R, little me time, little me time. Gotta have a little me time, right?
Yeah. I think that's what you do when you're on the golf course, though, isn't it? Have some you time.
I've had a little golf last couple of days or last couple of weeks. Yeah. You know, little golf. We had the Pacers finals, you know, we had
we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Still too fresh, too fresh.
Too fresh. What do you do? What do you do? At least we're not Cleveland fans.
That's true.
Hey.
How'd that work out for you, number one in the East, huh? How'd that work out?
I think Paul mostly associates with their MLB and in NFL.
Crickets. Team. Crickets.
Yeah. If it's not MLB or NFL, I don't follow Cleveland any other way. Hence why I'm a Ducks fan when we talk hockey. And basketball wise, I don't know. Anybody?
Well, your dad, he got what he deserved with the Cavs because he was talking major trash to me before the Pacers Cavs series. So,
Know, that's because he's probably more of a Cleveland fan across the board than I am.
Yep. Ducks Fly Together. Great movie. Great series of movies.
Fantastic series of movies. It's
Goldberg.
It is why there is the Anaheim Ducks. If it wasn't for the Mighty Ducks series, we would never have gotten the Ducks.
You're correct.
So
you're correct. But Shep, how you doing? How you doing, buddy?
You know what, boys? I haven't seen you in what, 3 weeks?
It's been a little while.
I've had the ups and the downs in the last 3 weeks. I've gone all the way to cashing in the Calcutta golf tournament to me having to put my dog down. So yeah. I've been up here and I've been down here and I've been back here, been there. We've drank a lot of vodka though. I'll tell you that right now. We've kept the hammer down. We're just going full throttle ahead. We've had some charity scrambles. We put a little money in our pocket. We watched the Pacers. We lost a little money because of the Pacers. Once I regained the KOP championship from those jackalopes over at the Two Beards, you know, and it's resting easy on my windowsill right over here, guys. If I had a bigger screen, I'd show you, but it's resting easy, right? It's back home. Smelling good, doesn't smell like tuna fish out of the fridge, you know what I mean? Out there in the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, Boston. Lord. Little chicken cutlets, huh? How you doing? Anyway.
So that he's kind of like our unofficial cousin from Boston, right?
Who, JPJ?
Yeah.
I would say that. I'd take him as a cousin. I think JPJ and I would get together and I think we'd get in a lot of trouble. So yeah, I'd take him as my cousin.
Our Two Beards over. They've been living rent-free in your heads.
Dude, the only rent-free they're living in is Paul's head when it comes to WWE picks. Don't give me that.
Hey, look, they didn't even live in my head rent-free. I mean, I'm waiting for Plugo to pop up here and make some comment about me looking good or something, you know?
They live rent-free. Plugo's probably too busy playing travel baseball. It's a weekend.
That's
probably
true. That's true. Probably. That's true.
But, you know, Shep, Majin asked you a question, and I haven't gotten to ask you this in what feels like forever. So, Shep, what are we drinking?
You hear that? It sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
We're drinking. I made a switch, guys. I made a switch. What? No, I didn't. I'm just fucking with you. No, we're actually just got back from taking the kids to the pool. Took my two young sons over to the parents to swim before they got to go to bed. So I made me a freshie when I went to the pool. I got about half of it left, but we're sticking strong with the kettle and the club soda, cherry flavored club soda. And in fact, here in about probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes when Paul's on one of his rants, I'm going to get up and make me a freshie. So just when you guys see me go, I'll make sure I mute so you don't hear my ice maker.
Appreciate it.
And then all of a sudden we got Mountain Dew Paul.
Yeah, he's back.
I'm back. I threw everybody off that 1 week I showed up with a Coke. So I had to go back to the Dew.
Yeah, because, you know, Mountain Dew's a Pepsi product. Then you're drinking Coke. So do you like Coke more than Pepsi, Paul, if you're drinking one of those two?
Honestly, it depends. I've got to be in the mood for a Coke, and me preferably I like a fountain Coke over a bottle Coke.
Most people prefer fountain, I would say.
There's a local establishment here in town that's, you know, just up the road from me a little bit here that I definitely love their suicides, which have Coke in it. So,
yeah. You know, when it comes to Coke versus Pepsi, if I'm having them, I'm not a big pop drinker. You know, I have like one or two a month.
Right.
But if I'm having a dinner, all right, I could have a, you know, whatever, chicken, steak, whatever you're having, whatever protein you're having, right? But there's one thing that I'm having that I got to have an ice cold Pepsi on ice. And it can come from the fountain, it come from the bottle, it doesn't matter. But if I'm having some salty, buttery popcorn, I got to have a Pepsi with it.
Pepsi I can agree
so
with that.
So much better with the like buttery, salty popcorn than a Coke.
Movie theater, grab you a Pepsi and some movie theater popcorn. Boom.
Yes. Give me a Pepsi all day long.
Yeah.
Majin says chicken steak, chicken fried steak.
I like them both. I like all three, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So with all right, before we get into wrestling, because this is a wrestling podcast, but
it is.
I feel like asking this question because what else are we going to do? Out of all the flavor of pops that are out there, if you could only have one pop the rest of your life, what will it be?
And it's pop here because that's where we live. Other people would call
Well, whatever you can get in the States. I know there's some crazy shit overseas, but what we can get here in the States.
I haven't had a pop that hasn't been ginger ale in 13 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, I drink. I used to drink a lot of pop. So there's
flavored ginger ale out there. Have you tried those?
Yeah, I like the, there's a good cranberry one I like. Canadian Dry makes
cranberry ginger ale. It is for Tanner.
Sure,
Paul.
Do you even have to ask?
It's just going to be straight Mountain Dew.
Straight Mountain Dew.
No Baja Blast. No Code Red.
No.
They make so many flavors. What the hell?
I think there's like 52 Mountain Dew flavors altogether now. I mean, not all of them are being made into production still, but over time, I think we've had like 52 different flavors. And the original for me.
So if it's going to be me, you guys are going to laugh. But it's going to be Cherry 7-Up. Cherry 7-Up is the GOAT. Now, I like Cherry Pepsi. I like Cherry Coke. I like Cherry Dr. Pepper. They're all good. But if I could only have one for the rest of my life, it's Cherry 7-Up.
Okay.
Steffi's saying Cherry Pepsi. Majin's saying Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper's solid. Yeah. And I love
That used to be my go-to.
And if we're going root beer, I'd rather go with Mug root beer over Barks.
Barks yes. Has that like that almost like a spicy aftertaste. I mean it like really, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Steve Chambers said Diet Coke or Coke Zero for him.
My wife's a big fan of the Coke Zero.
My wife would say Diet Mountain Dew. That would be hers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we're 12 minutes and 30 seconds into it. Tanner, let's get on topic. Let's go.
Let's talk some news.
We got some news, boys. We got a lot of news topics to talk about. Let's talk about some of it. Starting with everybody's favorite on this podcast, Mr. Chris Jericho. So we haven't seen Jericho on TV for a while. It's been since April, following his loss to Bandido at Dynasty. That's the last match we saw him in Dynamite. Yeah, we saw him in Dynamite after. He kind of went off on Brian Keith and Big Bill, right? So in the latest edition of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer, Uncle Dave, stated back in April that there was no official time frame on when he'd be returning. You know, but he reported now that he's able to come back. Tour dates with Fozzy have been done and gone. So Jericho's simply awaiting word from Tony Khan and a storyline to return. Meltzer also noted that Fozzy has recently announced a tour of the UK in February 2026, meaning that Jericho would be unavailable between February 6th and 21st. Now, there's another report out there, though, that Jericho's contract with AEW is up at the end of this year.
Yes, I've heard that one.
So I keep thinking he's got to come back soon, very soon, but I don't know when. And Shep's waving bye to him.
I mean, I get wanting him out the door because he's kind of ran his course in AEW. I think if him and Tony can't agree on something, he'll go back home to Connecticut.
I think he re-ups with AEW, but maybe takes more of a limited time in-ring schedule, which should have happened a while back.
Yeah. Should have ever since he dropped the title. The AEW title.
I think he has ran his course in AEW. He is one of the founding guys. Yeah. He was one of the legends that put weight behind the name AEW when it started. He has put over young guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what Tony's done with those young guys afterwards, that's not Jericho's fault. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
But he has done what he was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now he has passed the torch. There's nobody in any current storylines that we could see for the next 4 to 6 months that he fits in. Unless you want to put him on ROH, which he can do that. That's fine. We bid fair due to one Chris Jericho. And if he wants to go sign a legend contract with WWE, get put in the Hall of Fame, I would be more than happy for that guy, because what he's done for the sport of professional wrestling has been great. He deserves it. Not going to bash him on here. But I think it's done. It's time up. We've got too many younger talent in AEW right now that need a push, that need to be seen, that need screen time to put aside for one Chris Jericho. So,
yeah.
And I agree with what Majin's saying here. Jericho should have went that MJF schedule, wrestle every now and then, or have him transition to commentary more so like Daddy Magic. Yeah, because when we're seeing Jericho wrestle all the time, that specialness of him wrestling once in a while, that goes out the window. And here's, like, to me, usually when a star of Jericho's caliber is away for a while, you know, I'm eager to see them return. Like Kenny, when Kenny was out numerous times, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? A lot of times with wrestlers. Not for me with Jericho. Like, okay, if he comes back, great. If not, I'm cool with that too. So, like, that, just because I'm feeling that, like, it tells me everything I need to know, like, with Jericho running his course in AEW. Like you said, Shep, 2019, Jericho was needed in AEW to get it off the ground. It was their first champ. It was great. First few years of Jericho was great, reinventing himself. But the last 2 years or so just hasn't been hitting. And I just don't really think he's needed right now in the landscape of AEW.
Yeah.
All right. But before we go on to something else here, now, Tanner, you just said yes, because when Jericho wrestles all the time, we lose that specialness of his matches. Now, a couple weeks ago, I made a comment about I don't want to see MJF wrestle more, because then when he does wrestle, it's special. We look forward to it. And you shit on me for that. But now you're saying do the same thing with Jericho.
I would just agree with what Majin's saying.
And you're saying it's fantastic if they do that with Jericho. Because a guy like Jericho's 58 years old. Jericho's matches.
MJF, though, hadn't wrestled like at all this year. I mean, that's what I was saying. It's like, you got to get in the ring once in a while. And lately he has been, and it's been great to build up for All In with what he's going to do.
Right. But if he's wrestling every week or every other week or, you know, every couple weeks, you get to the point you're going, I'm tired of seeing MJF.
Well, yeah, but look where I am with Mark Briscoe, which Shep hadn't been on the last month to hear me rant about that. I mean, here, Shep, let me get your take on this. All right, I know you're a big Mark Briscoe guy, and I like the guy. I think he's entertained. I think he's a crazy son of a bitch. But we're getting Mark Briscoe on TV every single week, sometimes twice a week. He's getting stale for me. Like, I wish he'd take some time off.
Well, how can he be stale when he just won the?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. We'll get into that later, but we'll get into it now. Okay. Yeah, he just won.
He takes some L's. Let's be honest. He takes some L's, some close L's, you know, where it doesn't make him look that bad. And going into that, what do they call it? The Vegas Battle Royal or
Casino Battle Royal.
Going into that, I hadn't. He was not even on my radar to win that.
Yeah.
For a four-way.
Yeah.
Now, do I think he wins the Casino Battle Royale? No. But it just, like, just when you want to bury him, Tanner, okay? I get it. This happens, and they're like, holy shit, he had a great segment with MJF.
Yeah,
and he wins, and he wins the Casino Battle Royale.
Yeah,
or the Casino Battle Four Way. Sorry.
Yeah, the gauntlet. So now he's
the gauntlet. He's
number one. Yeah.
So he's gonna be So, I mean, just when we want, just when you want to swipe him off, he has a great week, and I'm all in.
Yeah, and that was one of my
pun intended.
No pun intended. You like that? You like that?
And that was one of the things I was complaining about. I'm like, all the dude does is take L's. So, okay, at least he finally does get a big win here. Let's see what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a really, really strong showing in that Battle Royale. Do I think he'll be final two? No, but do I think he'll be final four? Yes.
Well, and we were talking about MJF and Briscoe. You know, we had them go back and forth in a promo on Dynamite. Let's see here. According to a brief report from Fightful Select, MJF has been pushing hard to feud with Briscoe for a long time. At the time of their segment, the two men had never gotten into the same ring together, making Briscoe another veteran that MJF likely wants to add to his resume. So, So I don't know. Like, we'll see where it goes from here. I don't want to see MJF, though, in a match. I don't want to see him in that gauntlet. I'm hoping he loses Wednesday and he's not in that gauntlet, because I want to see him against Mystico at All In, especially after seeing MJF show up in MLW like he did, which was
first time in seven years.
Yeah. Huge surprise.
I like how they're keeping this CMLL AEW feud going. Mm-hmm. I think that Arena Mexico match was, or the Arena Mexico show was amazing. The crowd was hotter than hot. So I love that they recognize that, and then they're going to keep doing, you know, fingers off of that. And obviously this is one of them they're going to do. I think this is an All In match? But this is a main event of a big ass Dynamite leading into it.
What the miss? You're saying Mystico and MJF?
Yeah. We haven't seen MJF wrestle in a while. So
I think if they put Mystico on the All In card against MJF, it will sell a lot of tickets, because Mystico is a big deal in Texas and in Mexico. Like, I didn't even understand how big of a deal until, like, I heard him talking about it on Fightful. Started doing a little research, and he is, like, huge. He's their number one guy.
But in the Wednesday before in Texas at a smaller arena?
Correct.
There you go. Sell that place out.
Yeah. But if it could push another 1,000 to 2,000 tickets for All In, maybe it's worth saving it for later.
Yeah, but if you put him in this battle royale gauntlet match, whatever you call it, it's an easy way to get him back in the title picture.
Yeah, that's true. Which he would be a good opponent for either Hangman or, God forbid, John Moxley.
Oh man.
And MJF is in that four way. Also in this casino gauntlet, Anthony Bowens, AR Fox, and Brody King are the other guys on Wednesday night's Dynamite, which is Dynamite 300. We got Dynamite 300 and Collision 100 coming up this week.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
How do they time that perfectly?
I don't know.
If somebody out there in Twitter land, Facebook land, YouTube land, wherever the hell you're watching us dumbasses at, will somebody look into that to see if it's exactly 300, 100? Because that's pretty great.
Yeah, especially the 100 for Collision. Like, that shocks me it's 100 for Collision already.
Right? I mean, it would be, you know, just shy of 2 years if that was the case.
Yeah, and Ma just bring up a good point. There's a lot of comments here on YouTube about the Gauntlet and the Battle Royal. Yeah, the gauntlet's slightly different. The gauntlet, you want to enter earlier, because you can end a match whenever. First pinfall wins.
Yeah.
I'm waiting like one of these days they do one of these matches on like a Dynamite and say like Brandon Cutler's number one entrant and like, I don't know, Lashley's number two, and Lashley just squashes him and wins it before anybody else comes out. I think that'd be fantastic.
Brandon Cutler's still getting a paycheck from AEW.
Yeah, we just haven't seen him since he was on TV with the Bucks ripping up all those documents, shredding those documents. So he'll probably make a run in All In in that main event when we're going to see like 3,200 people run in.
Yeah,
he'll probably be one of them. Yep.
Yeah.
Kosher pickle. Yes, Steffi, that was classic. Kosher pickle line out of Briscoe to MJF was really good. And Bobby Lashley couldn't keep a straight face.
Dude, Bobby Lashley lost his shit.
He did. It was great.
It was awesome.
That was great. It was great. A few other news points. Athena, who's ROH Women's Champ, still having a great reign. Great to see her on AEW this past Wednesday.
Yes.
All three of us have been on the record many, many times saying she should be on AEW a lot more than she is. She was doing a recent appearance on Sports Illustrated's The Takedown, and she said if she reaches 1,000 days as champion, which would be right around Death Before Dishonor on September 5th, she said she's going to start calling herself the modern-day Bruno Sammartino.
Hey!
That's a heavy name to throw.
It is. It is. But I like it. We've never heard a female throw it out like that. So I kind of like it.
You know, though, with her being stuffed on ROH, she needs to do something, say something like that to get her noticed. So, I like it.
I was really hoping they would put her and Thunder Rosa for the ROH title on All In, but it's the night before on the 11th at the ROH pay-per-view. So
go figure.
Yeah. Yeah. But that tells me both ladies are going to be in the gauntlet then at All In. They got to be in that match, I would think. So,
Yeah.
Steven saying Thunder has to beat Athena first to get Athena more TV time on AEW.
You know what, though? That's the last person I want to beat Athena, though.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm just picking on her.
I feel like it's got to be
a younger talent that's going to get the rub from Athena that we all look at like, okay, look, it's this lady's time to run ROH. Athena's got bigger and better things ahead of her. We're going to see her on some cable television, not a streaming platform.
Right.
So
right.
I don't feel Thunder is the one to take that belt off of her. It's just my opinion.
Okay. So what do you – well, Steven beat me to it there. I was going to say Billy Starks.
Yeah, he's coming in.
When's the last time Steven, Majin, and me agreed at the same thing?
I think hell's freezing over.
I think it's been a while, boys.
Yeah.
No, but I think 100% I agree with those guys.
Yeah.
Billy is so young still. She's got such a bright future ahead of her. I think beating Athena, getting that rub would do so much for her.
And correct me if I'm wrong, she's lost to Athena twice, I think, in the last 2 years. So third time's a charm type thing.
Yep.
Yeah. But I do kind of like, I don't know if you guys caught this, I do like that Red Velvet is now aligned with Athena and Billy Starks. I think it's a nice little group.
Oh, okay. It's better than that group that Brandy tried to
start. Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go again. Nightmare Collective. Here we go.
That's what it was called.
You know it's bad. Remember you know it's bad when that was 2019. And we're still talking about 6 years later. That's what you know about.
Terrible.
Yeah. Paul was just nervous he'd have to shave his head to get the club.
No.
Yeah, who was that? No. Who was so they had Awesome Kong, they had Luther. Who was somebody help me out? Who was the other?
There was a lady that shaved her head.
They made her shave her head, and then once the faction floundered, she was really never seen again. Please somebody in the comments help because Mel, thank you, Majin. Mel, that's right.
See,
who the hell is Mel?
Somebody who disappeared in 2019, never to be heard from again.
Okay, good point.
When they did that stunt, all I could think was the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah. Well, and nobody wanted to brew Brandy at the time when AEW was just starting. By the time her and Cody left, everybody wanted to boo Brandy. So,
yeah.
there's a reason. There's a reason when Brandy worked for ROH, had her few matches there, and then followed Cody to AEW, and we're all Cody fans here, and we all agree how good Cody is and what he's doing. But there's a reason when he left AEW. Obviously, Brandy went with him. There's a reason NXT/WWE has not put her back on camera.
Correct.
Now she's done some podcasts, some reality shows, or whatever the hell you call them with her.
Has her own yoga studio now. Yeah.
And WWE will promote that and will do that. But there's a reason she has not made an in-ring appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think her in-ring days are dead.
Because she sucks.
She wasn't cut out for it. She was a really good.
Thanks for agreeing with me, Steffi.
For NXT, she was the announcer.
Yeah, ring announcer.
She did okay there. But there's a reason, you know, when she left there and did her ROH thing, and I always wondered why her gear had a snake on it. I never understood that, if you remember her gear. But again,
because there's a snake in my boots.
There's a reason that she has just gone into the sunset and done her own thing.
Yeah, this is the night of rarities over here. Everybody's agreeing with everybody.
She sucks worse than Mercedes.
Well, yeah, she sucks worse than Mercedes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You guys realize that Mercedes is running right now probably the top female of the year.
Thank you, Shep.
That doesn't mean I have to like her.
I mean, if let's just say the year ended at the end of June, and PWI. I was going to say PWG. Sorry, PWI came out with her top 100. Okay, Mercedes would be the top woman, and I'm not saying I love that. Okay, because I think there's some really, really talented females in both companies. But the way she's been portrayed, this belt collector, I mean, she's got more belts on her than fucking Louis Vuitton.
Hey, we made it 32, almost 33 minutes.
Yeah.
And the way she's been portrayed right now, she is wanted all over.
Yeah.
So she has done herself what a Matt Cardona did on the indies. Whether you like her in-ring work or not, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I've been on the fence on both. I've seen some really good matches. I've seen some shit. But she's done her job. She's done her job. You got to give her hats off. If I'd wear a hat, hats off to Mercedes. Right now, she's killing it. Number one women's worker in the States right now. She's rolling hard.
I vote Matt Cardona female superstar of the year before I'd vote Mercedes Moné.
Well, Matt Cardona just broke Shotzi's arm, so.
Hi, Matt Cardona.
What a great segment.
I'm surprised that I haven't got heat from last week's pod. I did it solo. I was talking about Mercedes a little bit.
And you were worshiping her.
I put her on my Mount Rushmore of female talent all time.
I just wasn't going to acknowledge that you said that, okay? I'm just moving right past it.
It's all right. I'm here for the heat. So that's just my opinion. She's done lately, she's on there for.
I'll let Majin give you the heat.
That's okay. I expect it from him.
She wouldn't make mine, but she's there. She's on the foothills, if that makes sense, if you know what I mean. She's on the foothills.
Yeah. Who would be your guys' Mount Rushmore female talent? I'm just curious now.
Oh.
As it sits right now, as of today.
Right now, as of today, for all time, yeah. I think it's tougher than the guys.
All time, not just currently in the ring.
Yep. Now, hold on. Before you say that, now, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to give you an asterisk beside your picks. So it's a free world.
No, I want to hear this.
Well, I think the women in the last 10 to 15 years have been portrayed differently than they were in the 80s and 90s.
100%.
I don't think, you know, a lady like Medusa, whether her talent was as good as what, she was a big star in the 90s and 80s, but she didn't get the TV time, the mic time the ladies get today. So whether you want to hold that against her or not, I don't know if it's fair.
No, I don't.
It's different nowadays. I feel like my Mount Rushmore is going to be talent that has worked from 2002 and on.
Yeah. So sure.
But okay. I'm gonna let you fire first.
Okay. Gail Kim.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I'll stay 2002 and up because I agree with you on that. It wouldn't be fair to put someone like Medusa, Lunder Blaze up there when, you know, there was so much going on at that time. China.
Okay.
That may not be 2002 and up.
No, but
I gotta do
somehow. Freaking you and I are two for two so far, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You son of a buck.
Bailey.
No.
Okay. All right. We that's the first one we missed.
Natalia.
Oh, okay.
I respect Natalia, but I just don't think she's accomplished enough. It's not her fault.
Not yet. Give her another 12 months here, and what she's doing, I think you're going to change your mind, Tanner.
And that's why I'm going ahead in there.
And that's something that going into our predictions at the end of this year, if we make it that long, us all getting along, which I think we will.
Yeah, I think we will.
I'm
going home.
I think we talk about her in the prediction year just because of what she's doing now in the next 6 months. But no, I agree so far with Paul. China, Gail Kim, bar none. Here's where I think we get a little different. I'm going with Charlotte Flair.
Yes, that she's on mine.
I can respect that.
I know she's been
like hurt. Her hater, but
yep, man. I know she was hurt. You know, hurt, and then she came back, and it did not go well when she came back. We can all agree.
Right.
But it's still Charlotte Flair and what she has done. And my last one, and this lady has sold me hard the last 12 months. That's Toni fucking Storm.
Okay. All right.
You tell me one lady that's more entertaining the last 12 months in professional wrestling in the world than Toni Storm.
There isn't anybody.
The only one I can make an argument, and I agree with you, it's Toni. The only one I'd make an argument is Chelsea Green.
Yes. And here's the problem with Chelsea Green, though. The platform Chelsea's on, the best she got was a mid-card title, correct. And Toni had a world title.
And everybody can say I'm wrong, but I think the reason Chelsea hasn't been on TV lately, WWE wants to try to cool her off. Because she's getting better reactions than the talent they're trying to push in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Market. So,
absolutely.
And I see a lot of the comments had Trish Stratus on there. And I like Trish.
She's on mine.
Trish. The only problem with Trish, and again, I should not hold it against her because I gave Medusa, Alundra Blaze a pass, right? Her diva reign. The brawl and panty matches, the sex shit.
That was when you just had to be hot and you got ring time.
But
go ahead.
My counter argument to that is she, you know, when she came into WWE, she was, you know, the manager, you know, the whole thing with Vince, A-Train, all that stuff. But she overcame that and the brawl and panties era, which had like Tori Wilson, Christy Hemme, all of them. And her and Lita were able to main event Monday Night Raw, the first females to do that, and they had some classics. I mean, I think she overcame all that and came out of the other side but the Divas era came afterwards. I understand that.
I would almost go Lita before I went Trish.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, Lita was living on the Shane Douglas's couch in ECW. You talk about a girl that took her hard knocks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But, yeah, Trish got in the door because of her looks. Lita got in the door because of her hard work.
My four, for the record, would be no order, but Mercedes, Charlotte, Trish, and Mickie James would be my fourth.
Okay.
I think she's done a lot of different companies. So
a little hardcore country.
Yeah.
But, now I will say, I can agree with both of your picks. Charlotte was close for me. It's just not there for me. Now, why did I pick Bayley? Because you both kind of went, what? Why? Bayley is one of the few women who can say that nobody has been injured in one of her matches. And that is something she is very proud of. She's talked about it numerous times. And the fact that that is an accomplishment, and the fact that she's gone from NXT Hugger Bayley to we're never turning you heel to turning you heel to now you're going to bring up these three individuals, two of which can't speak a lick of English, and somebody who doesn't have very much talent, and make it work and turn it into damage control. I think she's done phenomenal work like that. And that is why I put her on my four.
Okay. All right. I don't disagree with anything you said, Paul. I really don't. I think Bayley's been one of the girls, her and Mercedes, they main evented the first NXT show in New Jersey.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
That's the same hell thing, of a match. Right?
Yeah.
It's the same shit.
Close enough.
When you live out there, it all mixes together. And
it's a train ride away.
People are assholes.
That's true.
But anyways. But yeah, they main evented that first show at NXT and just absolutely tore the house down. Mm-hmm. Bayley, and she's evolved as a character. She was, that lovable baby face. And then she showed her heel side. And has really, really developed the character years after that of that, that lovable hugger and which sometimes came as a lovable loser because she would take the L. So, she definitely deserves to be in the talk for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of good debates you can have, a lot of good females you can throw up there. So
yeah,
good stuff. All right. You guys want to talk about our likes and dislikes for Dynamite and Collision this week?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about what we liked and didn't like. Let's see where we agree and disagree here. Shep, we'll start with you. What was one of your likes this week on Dynamite?
I think I texted you guys. My favorite segment of the show was the mic work between Briscoe and MJF. I thought that was a good segment. Sometimes Briscoe's not the best on the mic. Just because we see the comedy sketches he gets done in the back, right?
Yeah.
Which all makes us laugh. But he actually had a live mic in his hand in front of the crowd. And he's working with a live MJF. And I think it went over well. I think they both did a great job. He made Bobby Lashley come out of character and lose his shit, which was awesome. So that was definitely a like of mine.
My wife even popped for that. That was the one moment she was watching the other night, and she was laughing at the kosher pickle and why he hangs with her syndicate out of Briscoe. That was good stuff.
Yeah, we know why you're hanging with them because you got a kosher pickle, and they're the Hurt Syndicate, and we'll just leave it at that.
That was great. That was great.
Now, I want to ask you guys a question here, and then I'll give one of my likes and dislikes or whatever, however. Do you think Mark Briscoe is AEW's R-Truth? Not that they're going to, give him a title and have him win it and drop it 7,500 times, but he's that go-to, we need a comedy skit. Briscoe, you're doing it.
That's a good
He probably is.
That's a good comparison. Yeah, now, really good. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see. No, we might. I mean, he's young, but you know, we have this dark Ron Killings now all of a sudden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we'll see how that develops down the road, which I'm excited for. But if you compare company to company, you could definitely put those two guys in the same category. Absolutely. Yeah.
And when he was on the other night, you know, my wife's familiar with him. She always forgets his name, but she says the guy with no teeth. But I was educating her on Jay Briscoe too. Because I told her, unfortunately, Mark didn't even get to show up on AEW until his brother's passing. And how they should have been on AEW from day one when ROH got bought and all that. So I got her educated a little bit. So that was kind of fun with that. So, but no, Shep, that was a like for me as well. Paul, what was one of your likes?
All right. You're going to have to hold your jaws up for this.
Oh, boy.
The Mercedes Tony segment
to start the show. Okay.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed that. So
you're coming around, Paul.
Yeah. No, Tony did helped a lot in that segment, but you know,
I wish we would have got more throughout the show than just that.
You know, like in between another segment, just a quick back to the flip to the back. Oh no, they're still going at it. They found each other again or something.
I agree with it. I think we should have got, I mean, it was a 2-hour show and that led the show off. So you think we should get another backstage segment or another run into the ring segment where they beat the living tart of each other at least once more in the show. So
yeah. Mod says, Tanner, I'm sorry, but you expect this feud to heat up a ton. That's going to require Mercedes to suddenly become good at promos. It has been a little cold. I mean, we got 2 Dynamites, 2 Collisions left for All In.
But hold on. Still... Hey, let's just think real quick. Everybody knows that Tony would absolutely destroy her on the mic.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, if you're Tony Khan, just have these backstage segments where they beat the shit out of each other. And I'm not saying Tony would do it on purpose, but Tony wouldn't have the chance to absolutely bury her on the mic. So you can actually kind of hide her weakness here.
And
just do these type of run-in segments where they just beat the tar out of each other.
Yeah. Now
that'll help.
I like what they're doing Wednesday night with Mercedes defending the TBS title against Mina, because this is fascinating to me because, and I said this last week, even though I'm a Mercedes fan, I think if she's holding the TBS title in particular amongst all the 6 of these other belts, if she's holding that belt going into All In, I don't think she's walking out as the world champ. But if she was to lose that before, I think that puts even more intrigue into the match that she could walk out as world champ. So what do you guys think? Do you think they pull the upset card here Wednesday night and have Mina take it off of her or no way. And Mercedes retains.
Here's how I want them to do it. I want Tony to somehow get involved. I don't want this to be like a super clean victory for Mina. You know, Tony comes out, she says something to Mercedes from the top of the ramp. Mercedes turns to her, Mina rolls her up for a quick 1-2-3, and then gets the hell out of Dodge. I would be okay with that, because then it doesn't make Mercedes look super weak. You still have the, all right, Mercedes could do this. She didn't technically lose because Tony distracted her. Mina got a quick roll up. There was no wrestling move that finished it type thing.
So I think match placement will be foretelling.
Mm-hmm.
if this is the main event or not on Wednesday night.
Oh, I don't think it's the main event. I think it kicks off the show.
So do you think the main event's Okada and Kota?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you've never technically seen that match in the States, correct?
Have not seen it in the States.
Have not. Correct.
That's don't think event. They've went head-to-head for 6 years, I believe.
Yeah.
No. Kota looked awesome. Kota looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be your main event.
Yep. And Kota Ibushi is one of my likes. I'll start off with my like. I think he looks like he's in phenomenal shape now, according to or compared to 2 years ago when we saw him. He looked like a shell of himself. I'm not saying he's prime Kota again. I don't think we'll ever get, you know, his prime, but he can still be pretty damn good. And I thought Trent Beretta was a good dancing partner with him because Trent knows the Japanese style and the American TV style. So I thought it was really good. And Okada's something a lot of us didn't think we'd see in the States. So sign me up. Yeah. And I think it's a great way to get Kenny back on TV. And I like that Kenny hasn't been on TV the last few weeks. I know a lot of people out there in the IWC are complaining. I think it's, you know, they're selling the diverticulitis. I think that's perfect. Keep him off TV for a little bit.
I still think that blood spot was just awful, but that's just me.
It was a little hokey. A little hokey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You liked it, Paul?
I didn't think it was terrible. Could have been better. But
just think about all of the outer ring, outside the ring bumps that these guys have taken since AEW is come into existence. Okay, and we're talking the Darby Allens, we're talking the Matt and Jeff Hardys back in the day, the Young Bucks. This guy literally stood on the apron and dropped an elbow 4 feet into his gut, and the camera comes in and the guy is literally puking blood. Come on. Come on. I just thought it was hokey. It was very low level horror movie ish.
Yeah. Blood pill. So. Yep. Go back around the horn. Shep, any other likes for you on Dynamite?
I did not like, well,
Or dislikes. If you want to dislike,
I'll give you this little dislike. I dislike the way the Young Bucks threw, the way they portrayed Swerve and Ospreay to be unprepared for this match.
I loved it. I thought that was great.
I did not, because it's like, come on, you know that he's behind the curtain. He has his wrist half taped. He's gonna run out 30 seconds after his music hit, like he just came out of the line. I don't know. I thought that was hokey.
Well, why I liked it was because it's something different than we normally see. And who was it on commentary? Was it Taz? Somebody made a comment like, you always got to be ready from start to finish TV time. You got to be ready because you don't know when your number's gonna be called. So I kind of like that element of it. Was it a little hokey? Sure. But you got to, that's why you got to expand your belief a little bit there. So I thought it was good. Now, how about the stipulations? What did you guys think of the stipulations of, so we're going to get Ospreay and Swerve versus the Bucks, and the Bucks are putting their EVP status on the line. I need it explained to me a little bit more. Does this mean that if Ospreay and Swerve win, they're the EVPs? Or does this just mean that if the Bucks lose, they're not EVPs anymore? And if that's the case, what are Swerve and Ospreay having to put on the line? Like, I'm hoping maybe it's like they can't, neither of them can challenge for the world title for X amount of time. Like, I need something else on the other side of this to make it not feel like, because if there's nothing else, then, or if it's Swerve and Ospreay give EVPs, well, then we know which way that's going. So,
So I think the way they're going to run this, and I can see this, if Swerve and Ospreay win, the first segment is going to be these guys sitting at a makeshift desk with headsets on, doing a comedy bit, trying to call the show. And then obviously wrestling wise, they're going to put themselves in the world tag team title picture and do that. I think it'll be a short lived segment if that happens. But yeah, I think that's the way they're going to portray this. Like, could you imagine if they beat them the next Wednesday, the camera rolls in and all of a sudden Swerve and Ospreay in this little makeshift office with desk and papers all over and headsets, and all of a sudden they start throwing shit at each other. Like, it could be a really good bit, right?
Well, we saw it with Stone Cold.
Yeah, it should be short lived though. You know, yeah, it shouldn't be a permanent thing. So
yeah.
I'm not throwing my picks out there, by the way.
Yeah, you're not showing your cards yet. Which we still need to get a date set for that All In Prediction show, by the way.
I don't know if I'm putting it up against you, Jackalopes. Yeah. I even put Tanner on my back and he couldn't beat me. Paul, we won't even talk about that. I'm gonna go make a drink.
I vote for the 13th.
Is that a Friday?
No.
Oh.
That's the day after All In. That's why he's saying
yeah.
I thought the start of it was good. I like that we have a stipulation. I want a little more clarified this Wednesday. Maybe something else added to it. But
yeah.
Steven, guys think of Statlander winning the four-way thanks to the Death Riders. Paul, what'd you think of that? You're a Statlander fan.
I'm a Statlander fan, but I'm trying to figure out what they're... Are we turning her heel again for the 17th time since 2022? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to pick something with Stat and just stick with it, whether she's face or heel. Go with it. Let it run, because every time they do this, it's every 3-4 months. Every quarter, she gets a new gimmick. Not a full new gimmick, but heel versus face type thing.
Mr. Antics says a red herring on Statlander with the Death Riders. Very well could be.
Could be.
Very well could be. You know, one of my dislikes, Paul, everybody in the chat knows one of my dislikes, not enough women on Dynamite. I enjoyed the Casino Gauntlet qualifier, Statlander, Thunder Rosa, Athena, Willow Nightingale. All those women are fantastic. They can all go. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was a lot of fun. But we got that, and we got the backstage segment to open up the show with Tony and Mercedes and Mina. Besides that, nothing.
Right.
What are we doing?
And I agree. And I'm saving my really big dislike for when Shep gets back, because I want to hear his thoughts on this one. But I agree. We need to do something with the women's division. You know, I've seen in the comments, somebody says it's, you know, being strangled.
Mm-hmm. Strangled.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's just not enough women's matches to go around. So you're focusing on the same four, maybe five women every week. And we got to do something, because that's what Connecticut does. And their women's division is falling apart.
Yeah, well, and what disappoints, I think they do a good job on Collision featuring the women. We get multiple women's matches, you know, and maybe that should be known. If that's going to be the show you feature the women more, they need to make that known. But what disappoints me is I thought earlier this year we were going in the right direction on Dynamite with the women. We were starting to get multiple women's matches or segments.
Yeah.
Now we've reverted back to about one match, one women's segment a week. And it's just not enough. There's other stuff as filler on here that you could replace with another women's segment or match, in my opinion.
I agree. All right. So my biggest dislike, and it's not just this week, this has been a lot here lately. And Shep, I saved this because I want to get your thoughts on this. Why is there so much focus on the Don Callis family as if they are AEW's best, hottest thing?
That's a great question, but to me it's an easy answer, is because the only other heel faction you really have is the Combat Club, and they suck right now.
Yeah, but I mean, even when right after Mox and them turned heel, and with the Bryan Danielson stuff, we were constantly getting talk of the Don Callis family. You know, we've got Adam Cole challenging any member of the Don Callis family, and Ospreay took on the entire Don Callis family. Kenny Omega took on the entire Don Callis family. Everybody takes on the Don Callis family.
Sorry, like Steph, I said Death Riders.
Same thing.
I know, but she put a question mark in there. I had to.
Yeah.
You know, I get what you're saying, Paul, but I think you, if you have the Death Riders in the main event picture at all times, which obviously they hold the world championship, right? I think you still need a heel faction to run your mid card to upper card. And I think Kyle Fletcher is one of the bright stars of AEW and has a unlimited ceiling. I think Don Callis carries the name, the weight. I don't think he's a Paul Heyman. I'm not putting him in the Paul Heyman category.
No.
But he's trying to be a Paul Heyman. Okay?
Yeah.
He's very good on commentary. He's very good at putting his guys over. He's very good at being the asshole, the prick. Yep. So I think that's like your mid card to upper card heel group. And then I think Takeshna, I think come January, and this might be one of my bold predictions, I think January 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, whenever the hell Wrestle Kingdom is, I think Takeshna wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. I really do.
See, Zack Sabre Jr. won that last night?
He won it back last night. But we got another 6 months to go. I think the way they're putting a rocket up him, the agreement with New Japan and AEW, he'd had a really, really good showing in the G1. He's young. He's a big, big Japanese human being. I think he goes over there and does that. Still part of the Don Callis family. And the more he's around the Don Callis family, I think the English evolves. So, yeah, I think the Don Callis family is going to be around Paul for a long, 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 long time.
Right. And I know it is. But to me, it's like sometimes they put them above the Death Riders. They currently have no gold, but here we are seeing them all the time. You have another heel group in the Hurt Syndicate who people don't care as much about as they do the Don Callis family.
The Hurt Syndicate's not getting over as heels right now. They're facing, like, the crowd loves them.
Even though they are heels, when you said people don't care about the Paul, I think the people care about them a lot more than they do the Don Callis family.
I'm meaning in the back.
There's just one person. Tony Khan.
Yeah.
But Tony hasn't had... Look how the Hurt Syndicate's been booked. They're monsters. They don't lose.
I know.
Don Callis family takes a lot of L's.
Yeah, but... Okay. And kind of my point is, again, they have no championships right now, right?
Right.
So why aren't they the ones issuing challenges? Why are people like Adam Cole saying, I'll hold an open challenge as long as it's somebody from within the Don Callis family? Because why isn't Don... I know that, but everybody has beef with the Don Callis family. Literally everybody, including the Death Riders.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why aren't members of the Don Callis family going, Adam Cole, we want to challenge you. Pick one of us and we'll take you on for your title. To me, that's how it should be. It shouldn't be champions going, hey, guys without championship belts, come face me.
So you want Don Callis to be more assertive in himself and promote his group more?
Well, I want the whole group to be more assertive.
Yeah, but he's the voice
stuff. Yeah,
those guys don't talk. So you want him to come out and say, Kyle Fletcher's challenging for this. Takeshna's challenging for this. Okay, all right.
Yeah, MJF did that for the Pinnacle.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I don't think I would change anything up to this point. But going forward, I could see him trying to be more assertive. But still, Don Callis, I think the way he's been portrayed over the last couple of years, when he comes on screen, everybody always they want to boo him. He's the asshole.
Easy to dislike. Yep.
He's easy to dislike. Yeah. So who they got to be careful who they pair with him too. Because as soon as you pair somebody with him, they're gonna get the booze, they're gonna get the shit. So,
yep, and Steffi, hence the virus.
Oh, yep. Cyrus the virus. Yep. God, yep. What an awful time to watch ECW. And I did. I watched every fucking episode. And you know what? Back then, I was in high school, and I didn't quite. Like we were very limited on our dirt sheets and shit back in the day.
Sure.
I mean, my dirt sheet was jimmyvan.com.
Now he owns Fightful, baby.
Now he owns Fightful. But anyway, my dirt sheet was jimmyvan.com and it was very gray. You know, he would try to post as much shit as he knew, but to know what I know now, when I would have watching it when I was a 15 to 17 year old kid, holy shit. Would have been great.
Yep. Yep. No, I think about that a lot. Like when I got into watching, it was of course Prime Attitude era and Monday Night Wars were going on 98, 99, but I was six and seven years old. I knew nothing. Like I wish I could be like this knowledgeable now back then. It'd been a lot of fun.
6 or 7 years old during the Monday Night Wars, you're an asshole.
Yeah, I know. But like, you guys got to enjoy it more than I did. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I had to hide it from my parents, though. I remember I had a bedtime, and I would go to bed, and I would turn. I had a little 14-inch TV in my room, little son of a bitch, and I'd have to turn that son of a bitch all the way down to like volume one, and sit on the edge of my bed, and flip it back between channel 16 and channel 18, which was TNT and USA. And watch them back and forth. And this was back when I lived in the old Manchester town.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, towards the end of, well, in the middle of the of those wars, I tended to watch WCW more than I did Raw.
I was more of a WCW kid.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah.
But like, that's why I had to take a hiatus a little bit. My parents tuned in one time. I don't even remember what was going on. Something on Monday Night Raw and something with the women. Like somebody spray painted slut or something. It was something, you know. They made me stop watching for a while. So I went like 3 years without watching wrestling there for a little. So I missed WCW going out of business and getting bought. I missed the invasion. Like when I came back in, it was 03. So.
Wow. Yeah,
good times. Good times.
Yeah. See, I was spoiled, and I've talked to Shep about this before, and I'm trying to figure out how I managed to have this and Shep didn't. In my living room, I had a TV that had picture in picture, you know, back when that was all the rage. So I had WCW on one, Raw on the other. And if I was more interested in one match over the other, I'd switch the two.
Yeah, during the Monday Night Wars again, I had to go to bed at like I think 8 or 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock. I don't remember. That was back when Raw was 2 hours, and I think Nitro was three.
I don't know.
Nitro was two, and then they upped the three, and that was one of their downfall.
I was 12 years old, 13 years old. I couldn't remember, but yeah. I remember sitting on the edge of the bed. I had to sit on the edge of the bed close to the TV because I could only have the TV on volume one. My ceiling fan would blot
go
out.
Go over it.
Yeah, so my parents wouldn't think I was watching freaking Monday Night Wars, but I did.
Good stuff. What a time.
Good time.
What a time to be a fan. Any other likes or dislikes for you guys, not only on Dynamite, but also Collision? Collision was Thursday. Wasn't a ton on it, except I was one thing I liked, and I mentioned it to Paul when you stepped away, Shep, to make another drink. At least Collision's featuring the women more. Dynamite's not, but Collision is. So that gets a thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Collision, I'll be honest with you.
I did not either. Don't worry.
You guys didn't miss much. I mean, looking at the results here, Collision. The Outrunners and FTR met face-to-face, so it looks like we're going to get a match between them. Actually, we are getting a match between them on Collision 100. I thought they would do it at All In, but they're not. Christian Cage, Nick Wayne, Big Bill, Brian Keith. That was a fun match. Christian Cage and Nick Wayne went over.
And I thought,
so it looks like we're not getting a Cooper turn yet.
Wasn't Big Bill and Keith kind of at odds in that match, coming out together? Weren't they? Did I read that vibe wrong?
I'm not seeing in the notes. I don't remember. I watched, but I don't remember that. Yeah, Brody Keene and Tempelero went over Hitchicero and Rocky Romero. Megan Bain won. She hasn't lost on Collision yet. Josh Alexander lost to Adam Cole. Josh Alexander can't get a win. It frustrates me.
Just absolutely burying that dude.
Queen Amanada beat Sky Blue. I thought that was a true toss-up match there.
But I bet you those ladies have wrestled a total of 100 times together on the independent circuit, a couple times in AEW. I know they're best friends. I would like to see Amanada get a little bit of a push. We've seen Sky Blue, guys. Don't get me wrong. Nothing against her. And I think she'll be fine down the road. But I think Amanada can she's athletic enough. She's got the look. She's tall. She's quick. I give her a little push right now.
Catch up on some comments here. Yeah, Ricochet. It looks like Gates of Agony might be the two guys end up pairing with him, which I like. I think it needs to be some bigger guys, so I kind of like that. They took out AR Fox. So
I'm not a big Gates Agony fan. You know that.
So. I know that. I'm hoping maybe this is a good fit for them, because if it's not, I don't know what else you do with them at this point.
Fire them. You're fired.
Steven saying they should be the next trios champ. Mr. Antics. I got to read some of his comments here. He's leaving a lot of good ones here. If Hangman is going to be world champion, what would be the point of the Bucks still being EVPs? Might as well kill two birds with one rock at All In.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not agreeing with you, mister. Because I can't tell
you guys did miss a fun main event. Yeah. You guys missed the fun main event on Collision. It was Kyle Fletcher went over Kyle O'Reilly, but the crowd took over this match, and it was fun. Because
I saw highlights of this, because it was Kyle sucks, Kyle Rot is awesome, or whatever.
Let's go, Kyle. Kyle sucks. And a lot of Kyle chants, a lot of different variations.
Yeah, the one I saw was O'Reilly was basically just standing there while Fletcher's all about it. You know, like everybody's cheering for him that he sucks and they want him to do good, you know. So it was an interesting little snippet.
Yep. It was fun. That was cool. But you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. It seems like there's been a soft brand split within AEW. There's definitely people that pop up on like 8 out of 10 collisions and are hardly on Dynamite now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shep, I got to ask Tanner this, and then Tanner, I'll let you take back over. But your thoughts on the possibility of AEW having women's tag team titles?
It could work, but they would need to be a title that, and I don't follow WWE enough, which I think is there only one set of women's titles in WWE now? Or is there
tag
is there,
titles? Yeah,
there's only one set. There's not a SmackDown.
Yeah, all, but those right? things are cursed, right. though. Those things are cursed.
Yeah, everybody so who holds them gets injured.
There's one set. So that one set of titles can be on Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Love it.
Right? NXT's got their own.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Raw, SmackDown, AAA now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do this in AEW, it's got to be on Dynamite, Collision, ROH, CMLL, yes. Yes. New Japan. It's yes. got to be a broadband belt.
That's what I want them to do with the tag titles overall. Like even the men's, get rid of the ROH tag titles, get rid of the ROH trios, have the trios and the tags across the board defended wherever. I 100% yep. on board with that.
Yep. And you know Absolutely. What? You have enough television shows, streaming platforms, and enough personnel to pull that off.
But and Steven saying you don't have enough teams. What, 3 or 4 teams? TJ, Sky, and Julia, Megan, and Penelope, Vendetta. But you can, I think this would allow opportunities for more women. You makeshift more teams. The Acclaim was a makeshift team. It turned out pretty good for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and one thing that gets me interested in a women's tag division within AEW is the fact that there are more natural born teams. We're not throwing two people together and forcing them into a tag. We let this stuff kind of just happen naturally. I mean, you could do, if they could figure out what they're doing with her, Stat and Willow have tagged in the past. There's another tag team. You could,
what I'm saying, Majin, is they came into AEW as singles competitors, though, and were thrown together in a tag team on Dark. I mean, it wasn't. That's what I was trying to say. Maybe I didn't word it right. No. Okay.
Yes, but it could be done. It could be done, and you know what? Being partners with CMLL, with New Japan. ROH, you still brand these belts as AEW, okay? Because that is the mothership. So you brand them, you defend them everywhere. You know, hell, you can have these girls defend them in Stardom. They go over to Stardom every once in a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have them defended everywhere, but they're AEW belts, so that brings the clout back to AEW. These the belts are defended everywhere, but the mothership is AEW.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's yeah. right. Paul, you and I agree all the time.
And I think that's what would help. Yeah, there may only be a standard 3 to 4 teams that everybody thinks of. But if you put it on one of them, then you have Stardom. You have, you know, ROH, CMLL that could be in this big old tournament. It's a women's tag team tournament. Have an AEW team win it, but then, like you said, Shep, they're going everywhere defending this.
No, I agree. I agree. I did blink twice, by the way.
And Mr. Antics, 3 really good questions. We'll save those for next week because I know those all 3 could take up a lot of time, but I'll make note of that. Those are some good ones there. Well, he's asking for everybody listening, what's going to happen with Mercedes? This is post All In. When will they introduce the women's tag belts? And what's going to happen to the Death Riders post Moxley's title loss? So we'll cover those next week.
So real quick to the Death Riders thing, I will go into that. I don't think you'll see the Death Riders go away, but I think you'll see Moxley take a break.
I think the Death Riders go away eventually, assuming they do like a Blood and Guts. That could be like the culmination of the story, because eventually that faction's got to break up. That faction's been going on for 4 years back when they were the BCC. So
and Pac, you know.
Yeah, whenever he gets healthy.
Pac.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yep. Again, you could still have Claudio and yep. Yuta. You can still have them make appearances after sure. the loss. But mm-hmm. I just don't think you see Mox for a while. The guys try to take a break. You know, we go back, 3 years ago. The guys try to take a break. It's time.
Yep.
Every time he attempts to take a break, though, the main champion gets hurt or something, and then he steps in to fill in.
Yep.
You're right, but yep. It's time.
Anything else, fellas, as we've went about an hour 20 so far?
I don't have anything else for tonight.
Did any of you watch Night of Champions?
I saw the highlights.
Nope.
I didn't catch the whole thing in total, but I saw the highlights of every match.
I saw Jade came out once again paying homage to Storm from X-Men. Mm-hmm. This is the second time she's done a Storm-inspired outfit.
Yep.
Well, I just was thrown back about the crowd. The crowd when Randy Orton came out. The crowd when Cody came out. The crowd when Sami Zayn came out. The crowd when CM Punk came out. I mean, unbelievable.
Now I heard besides the Cody-Randy match and besides some of the entrances, I was listening to a podcast today that said the crowd a lot of times was sitting on their hands.
They did not. Well, I thought it was odd. So your front row guys, okay, your hard camera front row guys are princes. I don't know. Prince. They had the white. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just don't understand it. Cody, when Cody came down and gave his belt away, he usually gives it to a young fan, right? He did. This young fan came a couple rows back up to that belt, and they had security there. And that security was probably two or three rows. There was from the barrier to the front row was probably two or three rows of space. And as soon as that kid got that belt, man, that security guard pushed him back, pushed everybody back. So I felt like once the match started, all those security guards made everybody sit down. It was just odd, and I look at weird shit when I watch those stuff, and when Randy came down and Randy took his time because the crowd sang his song seven different times over, right? And he had to be the heel, but he wanted to give the crowd a little love, and when he went around the corner from the ramp to the stairs, that's the security kept everybody off the railing. They weren't allowed up there, which I thought was odd. Again, I don't know the rules in Saudi Arabia. So, yeah. But I thought the crowd, though, I mean, they were loud. They were loud.
Yeah, most foreign crowds are anymore.
Yeah. And I saw a meme based off of Night of Champions. Can people in WWE stop getting hurt? Because every time somebody gets hurt, a new Bloodline member debuts.
Criminy. They need to end it. It's overdue.
90% of the tree is officially signed to WWE now, I think.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous, really, in my opinion. But whatever. Whatever.
Whatever. So. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, fellas, anybody got anything else they'd like to add?
No, it's been a fun show. And man, I'm ready for All In in less than 2 weeks.
You and me both. You and me both. And with that being said, be sure to follow the Kicking Out podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast, and leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP.
And give us a thumbs up on this video on YouTube if you're watching live. We'd really appreciate it. That helps us out too. So
Yeah, and be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com. It's your place to go to get some great merchandise and support a great podcast while looking absolutely fantastic. You can also go to prowrestlingtees.com and search up Kicking Out Podcast and find some exclusive merch there that you will not find at Kicking Out Shop. And be sure to follow each of us on all social media. You can follow the Shep at the Shep 27. Is that right, Shep?
The Shep 27. Yep. And we're going to change that. We might change that up a little bit just because I'm gonna put the championship in there somehow because it's going to be here for a while.
Oh, Lord.
The champ Shep.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow Tanner Lee at Tanner Lee 92 and be sure to follow myself at Paul Zartman 87. And with that, be sure to join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast. On behalf of Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. We'll see you next week.
This is where I say goodbye and good night. Bam!